might be the car or light truck that gets you to your job every day. Maybe your child drives it to school. Or perhaps your drivers deliver goods to the customers who keep your business going. The bottom line is, you rely heavily on that vehicle to be safe and reliable day after day, and that means regular maintenance by professionals trained in the latest automotive repair techniques. For Brenda and myself, that means Advanced Automotive is the only repair shop we trust with our personal vehicles. Advanced Automotive does everything they can to make car care easy. Founded in 1993 by Tim Morlock and now owned by his son Cody, carrying on a tradition of honest work at a fair price. Find out for yourself by visiting AdvancedAutoReading.com or go to RepairPal.com, or you could just call 530-244-4423. It's a great little repair shop that's a bit hard to find, but worth the effort. At 5756 F West Side Road in Reading. Advanced Automotive. Well, hello once again. This is Boomer Jack Radio, and I'm Bob Belongi.
Along with Brenda Belongi.
Analog Living in a Digital World, the program with goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, and the tech news that you can use. And amid the chaos of a rebuild of the KCNR studio facility, there's wires sticking out of the wall. There's boxes that have been opened and the equipment installed and just stuff everywhere. Yours truly is
engineering new
the new digs, yes, and it will be pretty when it's done. Right now, though, it looks like one of those winter storms just came through and left a chaos in its wake. But that's the nature of construction, isn't it? Until it's finished, it looks like a disaster, and you don't really get to appreciate the what's going on until it's all said and done and the mess is cleaned up. So, speaking of messes, California has a lot of mess to clean up in the wake of the fires.
It's not just in Northern California, too.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a lot of...
Although there's plenty of that in Northern California.
A lot of houses were destroyed and need to be replaced. And now I wonder if, because it takes so long to go through the process, your house was insured for, one would hope, the value it would take to replace it.
Right.
Right.
Yep.
I wonder how this upcoming story is going to affect that, because these permits are not going to be issued automatically. It is now a done deal. California is going to require solar panels on most new homes. This week, the Building Standards Commission voted for a new code. The policy will take effect in January of 2020, just a little over a year from now.
Just over a year from now, yep.
The only houses that will qualify for exclusion are homes that are either blocked by things like trees or tall buildings or don't have room for the panels. This building code, the first of its kind in the U.S., and it may serve as a template for the rest of the country.
Well, a lot of times what California does, the rest of the nation does eventually.
Critics are concerned this will further raise housing prices in a state where that's already a problem. It might offer only limited energy savings. Proponents estimate the technology could, put a line under that, could ultimately save homeowners as much as. Do you love all the qualifiers in that?
Yeah. Might, maybe could, do this.
It's like the speed on your internet connection.
Yeah, up to.
Yeah.
That is never achieved, or rarely achieved.
You could get up to $60,000 in savings over a 25-year lifespan of these panels.
Okay. Think about this, though. You're adding, in a conservative estimate, $25,000 to the additional cost to the 25 to 35,000 additional cost to the building by having to do this. So your savings is really not 60,000 unless they're saying that, you know, it's close to 100,000 overall and you have 60,000 net. They don't say this is a net savings.
Right. They kind of qualify all this stuff.
Now, the flip side of this is that renewable energy is a good thing.
Right. I have no objection to that.
Absolutely. That's a great thing. And there are a lot of rooftops that can be put to work this way. Absolutely. It also may help with heating or cooling costs because you're shading your roof mm-hmm. with solar panels. So that could be an additional savings as well in terms of energy use. What about these utilities that are forced to essentially pay you for this?
Well, those laws are changing, and now you have to pay a connect fee. The consumer is always going to get it.
Well, in one way or another. So the thing is, if you're using less energy, then you get stabbed with higher rates because they still have to provide that. And there are laws about that infrastructure being provided. It's just like driving a hybrid or an electric vehicle. You are driving on roads that gas taxes pay for the maintenance of, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not using gas, you're not paying for your use and abuse of that road. So, and I think this is coming up again, probably in the first place in California, is that you will, if you have an electric or hybrid car, you're probably going to get a surcharge X amount a year stabbed onto your vehicle. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, it will be a charge per mile as if you were paying gas taxes that they will require you to report your mileage.
Right. Instead of a smog check, you're going to be required. I'm betting on this. This is not a done deal, but I'm going to bet.
Yep.
That instead of a smog check, you are required to take your electric vehicle into a station,
yep.
like you would for a smog check,
yep.
and have a readout done, and then they send you a bill for the miles.
Yep.
Now, how do they know which miles were in the state of California and which miles were cross-country?
So the state of Oregon has already been experimenting with this, and they have volunteer folks that have put essentially that trace, if you will, upon their car. And that's exactly right. How do they know which miles were driven in-state and which were driven out-of-state? It's none of anybody's business but my own.
Government wants it to be their business.
Right. When I come and go, where I go, how long I stay, I'm not a paranoid about privacy, but this is one of those things that absolutely the government, in my mind, has no business knowing. That is an infringement, serious infringement upon your privacy.
Mm-hmm.
And some people are not bothered by that sort of thing. They figure, you know, what have I got to hide or what have you?
It's just intrusion.
It's intrusion. I can't really articulate well what is in my head about that, but it's just, it's creepy.
Mm-hmm. Will you be required to have an app on your phone tied to your car that will, and the justification, in order to charge you correctly for your miles, we'll need to determine which miles were in state and which miles were in another state. So now, like sales taxes, does each state send you a bill?
Guess what? My phone's staying home. It is. I will, if it comes to that and you are required to have this app on your phone, they'll have to require me to have the phone.
Then there's probably, just like with any other sets of fees, if you can't, you will be charged. This is my bet.
You'll be charged more.
You'll be charged a set amount.
They can't track you.
A default amount.
It's vicious.
Yeah.
You feel like you're stabbed. Talk about intrusive and annoying and scary, and well, not scary, but spooky, kind of creepy. Creepy to me isn't necessarily scary. It's just creepy.
Yeah.
But that's just me. So I don't know. It's interesting, but we pontificate on maybes. They're not here yet. But the technology.
But it is a given that this legislation has been by a non-elected body, I might add.
And the technology, let me finish this thought. The technology to track your car or whatever definitely exists.
Mm-hmm.
And the computer that's in the car can tattle on you, if you will. Insurance companies have already done that. Oh, you were driving 25 miles an hour over the speed limit. You know, you get punished for that. But anyway.
It's crazy
so,
stuff.
Yeah,
it's this, craziness.
This legislation, of course, that can be undone, but it's not going to be undone. What about states that have a lot of snow?
Well, that's the thing. If by the way, that chiming sound was my Nest cameras,
which I left on. May or may not have heard that on the air.
Yeah. I could hear it, and it was obviously playing over We have our alerts set up on our Nest cameras. Could the government peer into my Nest cameras? Well, maybe, but all they're going to see is a splendid view of my front yard.
And the side of the side door of our shop.
We don't have any cameras inside the house.
That's another thing. Yes, I wouldn't put cameras inside my house. Although there was an interesting video that came out of the Alaska earthquake.
From
an in-house camera.
Yeah.
A number of them. So I'm sure researchers are quite fascinated with that. Insurance companies probably love that, too, because if you don't have stuff nailed down and there's damage, you didn't have that earthquake proofed in earthquake territory. So sorry, can't help you.
Yeah.
You're paying insurance for what now then?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, for the stockholders to make
something like that.
Oh, wait a second. Hey, we are live today.
Where's the benefit is what I mean. But anyway.
We're live
today.
We're
on a roll today.
530-605-4567. Hop in the chat room, kcnr1460.com. I've got one eye on the chat room. The other eye on my Flipboard application on my iPad so that we can pull these stories up and comment upon them if you would like to. Get Flipboard and subscribe to Boomer Tech Radio. We would really appreciate it. It's a fun little app. It leans a little to the left, but then again, media leans a little to the left. But it's got some good tech stories in it. Now, I've got online friends who have made use of the blogging site Tumblr, T-U-M-B-L-R. And there was a fair amount of what's called NSFW. That's Not Safe for Work. It's a common acronym in the blogging world. It refers to an image that you'd rather not have up on your screen when the boss comes up behind you. And yes, you shouldn't be doing that at work in the first place, but people do.
People do.
Yeah.
I remember back when the internet got put in the office computers, government office, no less, and the missive came out, cease and desist, looking at the porn. I'm like, why would you do that? And I made that comment, and it's like, well, you'd have to be a guy to understand that. I'm like, what? First of all, that irritated me. And second of all is, why would you think that's okay to do at work? I didn't understand. You know, as if, well, yeah, I'm a guy. That makes it okay.
Yeah.
You know, no. Anyway, I digress.
On Monday, Tumblr announced that their site will block anything that it considers to be adult-rated visual content, a category that includes porn, motion GIFs, and, my personal favorite, female-presenting nipples. Now, presumably, male-presenting nipples are perfectly fine, even though, from a certain point of view, what is the difference there? You can have a guy with moobs, you know, some middle-aged guy with moobs, standing there, and that's okay. But let a piece of art, let a Da Vinci piece of artwork or something be on the screen, and that's porn.
Well, I think it relates back
to
the fact that men can go shirtless in public and women cannot.
There are guys I don't want to see shirtless in public.
Well, that's a different story. There's probably women you don't even want to see with shirts on either.
Yeah, well.
So, I mean, it works all the way around.
But I have friends who use Tumblr to post. Now, there are some pictures, a lot of pictures and blog posts on Tumblr that are very questionable. And they are a private company. And it is their right as a private company to determine what is on their site in terms of their personal standards. Apple does this all the time. There are apps on Apple that don't make the grade because they have, quote, adult content. The thing is here that the algorithm that they're using is flagging perfectly innocent, and I have personal knowledge of this.
Perfectly legitimate. Doesn't meet their criteria.
One of my friends online likes to repost fashion magazine from the 1950s, like Glamour and stuff like that, from the mid-50s. And God forbid that those bare ankles show up because Tumblr flags it as inappropriate material.
That's crazy.
Pictures that have...
In Victorian times here?
Right. Well, you see the example picture of the young woman there.
That makes sense. I can understand why they might flag that. Because it's an artist, it's a painting a full-on female nudity.
Well, but the lead there, there's another picture too of a young woman.
In a
she's fully
maybe like
clothed.
a silly pose or something.
Right, she's in a in a pose. And she's pointing out the fact that her leggings have holes in them.
Right. It's just kind of a goofy little pose, but it is not inappropriate.
It is. There is no bits showing, and it was flagged as inappropriate.
Yeah.
So what are Tumblr users doing? They're going to Twitter.
Of course.
And posting. And a friend, this
probably
friend
Instagram
of mine
too.
Who lives in Australia and is quite the fashion person, is trying to figure out where... Because every once in a while she'll post something that is a little racy. It certainly is. It's like the Chief Justice, decades ago said, I can't define porn, but I know it when I see it. Or I can't define, the point being, it's basically in the eye of the beholder. But, and again, Twitter or Tumblr is a private company. They can do what they feel is best, but I'm going to predict that this will be the end of Tumblr.
Well, certainly.
Because they have botched this up so badly.
Well, their algorithm doesn't appear to be terribly discriminating. It doesn't have, what's the app you have on your phone? You can take a picture of something and say, what is it? You know, and it'll find like things for you. You used it not that long ago. Take a picture of something and it recognizes
Google
what
Lens,
yeah. Google Lens. It doesn't even seem to have that kind of stuff. So there's one picture here this person claims, however, that they, they're fully clothed and all this kind of stuff. But the pose that she's in, I understand what she's doing, but the pose she's in could be labeled as soft porn. So I get
that. But nothing
that,
is actually showing.
But that's, well, that's true. Nothing is showing. And you would have to view it as such. And part of any picture, of course, is context of what's going on. But other innocent things like a vase.
There's a picture of a cave with water in it.
Yeah, there was reports of a dinosaur bone being labeled as inappropriate. So, you know, what kind of who writes these algorithms, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because the algorithm is only as good as the programming behind it. So this is a human digitization, if you will, of what's appropriate and not appropriate. Very sophisticated algorithms, but maybe in this case, way too sophisticated.
Many posts depicting LGBTQ individuals. Now, you can say you don't believe in what the lesbian, bisexual, or gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, what have you, community does. You can say you don't agree with it, but they exist. And to pretend that they don't exist, that's a tricky question. And when we see this stuff codified into law, is it the former Soviet Union, where if somebody comes out as gay, they end up in jail? And there are those, I'm sure, who listen to the show who would be just fine with that. But I personally don't think that because a person identifies as gay or bisexual, that that's not a crime. Other people see it as a crime. Anyway...
The dinosaur bone in question? Oh, I see why it got flagged, because it only looked at an outline of things.
Yeah, exactly.
The dinosaur bone's kind of funny, actually. If you saw a picture of it, you would never think of anything inappropriate. But when they say this was deemed inappropriate, it's like, okay, I see why they did that.
Yeah, but obviously Tumblr is going to have to do some. I saw that, and if you squint your eyes a certain way, it does look to be. It could be a representation of a male erection. Let's just call it what it is. But it is in fact a dinosaur bone. But it's like seeing if you have a cloud picture that is suggestive of a set
anything.
Of mammoths. Well.
Anything.
Does this mean you could never again post pictures of mammatus clouds?
That's very possible.
For those of you who just wondered which direction I took, there is a type of legitimate cloud called mammatus, and they look rather like what the name implies, the underside of the cloud.
That the word origin, mammatus, has the same root origin as mammary gland.
Yes. And if you look at the... They only happen under the mammary gland. They only happen under certain circumstances.
Correct,
right?
Yes. Yeah, they're...
But they are not infrequent.
Relatively common, yeah. They're not unusual, if you will.
But interesting...
Seen quite frequently.
So, yeah, there's a lot of Wild West stuff on the Internet, and I understand some curbs need to be in place, but...
Well, back kind of to the car thing, how far does this go?
Yeah.
And what effect does that have on us psychologically? I sound like Nancy Sutton Pierce.
Yeah.
of you know, you're afraid to post anything for being, you know.
Are we heading into a Handmaid's Tale thing where if you say the wrong thing, you end up dangling from the end of a rope?
Yeah. Over the wall for everybody to
see?
Yeah. Yeah. So. I don't know. That's scary. Well, you know, there goes technology. You know, this is one of the uses of technology that the intent is appropriate because some things don't need to be, you know, publicly distributed. That's
right.
It's just
what
not
goes
happening.
On behind your doors right. is your business.
Right.
But, and I understand about people oversharing.
Right. There's that. But at the same time, who decides what, you know, these pictures that are being labeled inappropriately, who decides what really works and doesn't work?
Who watches the watchers? From a certain point of view, the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition would be not allowed on Tumblr.
In some countries in this world, that would be absolutely forbidden.
Yeah, yeah.
There was an article I just saw in a news source that said that there was a couple that climbed the pyramids in Egypt. And, shall we say, got bare, and then there were some photographs taken, and they posted them.
Oh, wait till you're out of country.
Well, that's the problem. They apparently...
Put them up on their Instagram
or something. Well, they did. They posted them on social media. And so it doesn't matter whether you're out of country or not. They're still looking for these people because they committed a crime in that country by that country's...
Well, that's just,
morals,
you know,
and laws. So be careful, people. Couple things. Don't post it on social media.
Yeah.
You know, there still is this thing called email. If you really want your friends and family to see this stuff, email it to them.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, as soon as you put it on social media, it can go viral because people
Absolutely.
Can repost things, copy things. You know, the digital world is forever and everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And have a little discretion, I guess, is the whole thing. Particularly if you're in if you're in Rome and you don't know what the Romans do.
Yeah. Now I don't have a current model, but I have told people repeatedly that if I had to have a desert island device, I could take one device with me to a desert island. It would probably be an Amazon Fire HD tablet. The ecosystem is fairly limited, but given the price, given the bang for the buck, and the simplicity of operation, the Fire tablet is a pretty darn good deal. And it just got quite a bit better.
You'd be living pretty good if you're on a desert island with connectivity.
Yeah, well, that's the ultimate desert island experience. People with recent Fire HD8s and HD10s can get intercom-style announcements and drop-in calls from Alexa devices. So you could actually... use them as a communication system from your Fire Cube. You can contact somebody on their Fire HD tablet. And I recommend if you have somebody who maybe isn't really tech savvy, but you want to be able to get in touch with them, there is a you can put Skype on a Amazon Fire tablet and have two-way video phone communication with Grandma. And the tablet makes a great reader, too. I still use my antique HD 7, or it's not even an HD, my antique Fire 7-inch, although I don't charge it as often as I used to. But that makes a dandy little reader that if something happens to it, and you can get one for as low as $39.
I might have to get one of these. It comes in bright yellow. That's a great color to try and find these things. You know, there's nothing worse than having a black computer bag with black devices in it. You can't find anything.
Yep.
Nothing stands out. The nice thing about this is all through an app, and you can limit who you gets calls, you take calls from. You can shut it down. You can opt in, opt out. So it looks like a well-designed app that way.
There we go. Boomer Tech Radio back with more tech news you can use. 530-605-4567. Since we started Boomer Tech Radio, Advanced Automotive has been part of our program. But Tim and Cody Morlock are more than just our advertisers. They're our friends, and they are our first choice when we have our personal vehicles serviced. Why? Well, because after your home, your car is probably your second biggest investment, and it's vital that it be safe and dependable. Advanced Automotive has a skilled staff of certified technicians ready to diagnose your vehicle and get it running right. Advanced Automotive is listed on RepairPal.com, a national rating site where customers can leave reviews and even get an estimate on the cost of a repair. Go where the professionals take their vehicles to be serviced. Advanced Automotive in Reading, on the web at AdvancedAutoReading.com. Visit them at 5756 F Westside Road, just off Bonneview. Call them at 530-244-4423. Advanced Automotive. Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomforts. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is the place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
Is that jolly old soul in the department store really Santa Claus? Let the magic of the season sweep over you as you find out with little Susan if Kris Kringle is who he claims to be or if he's just a lost soul caught up in the wonder of the holiday. Riverfront Playhouse is proud to present Miracle on 34th Street, written by Valentine Davies, directed by Jennifer Levins. Tickets at riverfrontplayhouse.net or at Enjoy the Store on Placer Street in Reading. Showtimes Friday and Saturday, 7:30, Sunday matinee at 2, November 17th through December 15th.
It's a given that your car or light truck is going to need service sooner or later, and often, waiting until later means a lot bigger repair bill. Now, there are many repair shops in town, so it pays to do your research and find out where your friends and neighbors take their vehicles and check reviews online as well. Advanced Automotive of Reading is listed on RepairPal.com, where customers just like you talk about their experience. Advanced Auto has been making quality auto care easy since 1993 and has a philosophy of keeping things simple. Stop by their shop at 5756 F West Side Road, just off Bonneview. You'll see vehicles from local businesses and first responders in the yard because those customers rely on cars and trucks that are safe and reliable. But more than that, safe vehicles mean a safer community. And honestly, it's the right way to do business. Check them out for yourself. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Reading, 244-4423. And welcome back to the second half hour of Boomer Tech Radio. It's a two-hour show every weekend. And if you are, every once in a while, we'll sit here and we'll wonder, my God, is anybody actually listening? Have you ever had that sensation?
Well, our friend Trish said she'd be listening today.
Yeah, okay. Hi, Trish. but every once in a while, I would just sit here and go, and this is something that happens often in broadcasting. I'll go, okay, anybody listening? Anybody out there? But we get people who come up and say, hey, love the show, da-da-da-da.
Listen to you every week,
yeah.
Type of thing.
And it's like, oh, okay. Well, I feel a little bit better about that. So we enjoy that you're hearing us. Now, we are taking the show offline at the end of the year, and because we need the time for our impending move.
We've to make just some got changes. Yeah.
So much on the plate.
Yep.
It's been a good 10-year run. Well, almost 10 years.
Be very close to 10 years, yeah, that we've done this show. Where did those 10 years go?
Yeah. Well, that's what you say
I don't know.
About life itself.
The question is, have we gotten any better at it?
You
are already a consummate professional, but maybe I learned a few things. I'm not sure. You're the talent. I'm just the sidekick.
Well, it has benefited you at your work.
It has?
Oh, well, you have said so.
I'm being sarcastic.
When it comes to presenting and
interviews, yeah. Well, that's because, yeah, that's true. It's always interesting when you understand the technology of things, the technical aspects.
And the techniques of like editing audio.
And yeah.
You never listen to an NPR broadcast quite the same way.
No, I haven't. Yep, I can tell those people sound good because they're made to sound good. They took all the uhs and ums and things like that out of there.
Yeah, and it's very, very subtle. The trick is you don't change the context. If you listen to the two statements, to the two sentences side by side, you have to come away, if you are legitimate, you have to come away with the same impression.
Of continuity. There has to be some
continuity
in the statements, yeah, or whatever. But anyway, we digress.
So perception can be reality, and Bose wants to change your perception of your audio reality.
Hmm.
How was that for a segue?
I'm hurting myself
by patting myself on the back.
I'm rolling my eyes.
Well, it's a long way from, Borg implants, but...
God forbid. we may be there someday.
The cutest. You will be assimilated.
Resistance is futile.
Yes. Bose set to release a sunglass collection with each pair having little tiny Bose speakers built right in for music playback and a microphone so you can make calls. You'll be able to use the 9-axis head tracking and up to 12 hours of battery life from these devices to use a virtual assistant. Now, there's no video involved here, but it knows which direction you're looking.
Right, and
it
where you are.
When you're away.
So this has to be it's through an app. It's connected to your phone. So that's the power of the brain. That's the brain power behind it. You know, these glasses don't have any smarts, per se.
The speakers are positioned to allow them to fire audio into your ears without the need to have an earbud crammed into your ear canal, which some people dislike. So,
Or they're uncomfortable.
Yeah.
That 12-hour battery life is...
That's only when it's just sitting there doing nothing.
Yeah, pretty much when it's in standby, the rechargeable battery. And these are not very big batteries because we're talking talking about glasses we're wearing here only last 3.5 hours when listening to audio continuously. But still, that's pretty good performance for such a thing.
So if you've got a 90-minute commute, you can, sunny day, you can plop these things on.
Yeah.
The nice thing is that your ears aren't actually plugged.
Yes, there's that. And I'm wondering, too, though...
So, therefore, that's the augmented reality.
How much of the other guy's music you have to listen to, or how much they can hear of your music if somebody else is not plugged into it.
And, well,
it's
maybe
probably
if they
pretty directional.
Yeah, and hopefully they don't have them cranked up so loud.
Well, people do crank them up loud, but you can hear through somebody's earbuds, actually, if you don't have anything in your ears a lot of times. But it's interesting, Bose is the first, apparently, to combine this situation. It can also give you instructions where you don't have to drag out your phone and look at a map, because it knows where you're looking, and you can say, okay, Google, oops, sorry, I probably just fired somebody, so I saw, blah, blah, you know, I'm looking for such and so. It knows where you are and what's relevant. I imagine these will get more sophisticated in terms of the app that's tell you what you're looking at, and if you're, and you can say, I'm looking for such and so, a specific location or a grocery store or something like that, and it'll tell you then where it is if you're looking in the right direction, and that sort of thing. But these, you would think that, you know, how heavy are these glasses, right?
Yeah.
They only weigh 45 grams, which I'll go look that up, what that equates to. But
and just to prove that we don't know everything, the article says, finishes, recharging takes 2 hours using a pogo pin cable. And we looked at each other and go, what the heck is a pogo pin cable? So Brenda, the curious sort that she is, looked it up. But 45 grams equals.
I'm not there yet.
Mm-hmm. I could have the G lady look it up.
Oh,
for
well,
me.
There's that, right? So let's see here. 45 in here. You got to love the internet. Go is,
Okay, Google, 45 grams in ounces.
45 grams equal 1.587 ounces.
Okay. So, you know, you could put two stamps on this thing and mail it.
Yeah,
It's pretty light. I don't know. That seems...
Things awfully flimsy.
That does seem quite flimsy. The glasses themselves are actually fairly well designed as well, and they block a high percentage of UVB and UVA radiation as well. So they are functional outside of having these audio things. They sound kind of fragile. So if you sit on them, you just wasted $200.
Yeah.
You did
but
that.
So, we looked up what a pogo cable
is. So a pogo cable is, you'd be most familiar with it is when you set something on a charging stand, for instance, and it has little contacts.
Pins are spring-loaded.
Yes, spring-loaded.
Hence forth the name.
Right. They're spring-loaded, and they have little contacts for your device that have to charge it. So it's just
pressure,
a different style.
That's what makes the contact rather than the friction.
Yeah. And so it has to stay in its little tray or whatever. In a way, the magnetic... Apple cord, the little magnetic connector
for apples.
It was very similar to that idea.
Except that the pins are not spring-loaded,
right.
But the MagSafe connector,
Yeah, it's something like that, where it makes contact with it, so it's not one not like lightning connectors or something like that. That's a different kind of cable. Anyway, you can look up pictures of them and see them.
Couple of sidebars here. I want to divert slightly. I don't know if you've got the same sidebars I do. There's one here. Amazon enlisting customers help educating Alexa. I'm going to punch that up here. This is all on PC Magazine. And if I can get the darn article to come up and even on the major sites like PC Magazine, you get all these stupid pop-ups that render the site completely useless.
Well, it's not necessarily useless, but it slows it down to the point where you really cannot really you can hardly function. I guess things are so slow. It's like what is one of those clickbait things where, you know, amazing thing or
this one weird trick?
No, they don't use phraseology like that. They say, you know, scientists find surprising thing in cave or something right?
Yeah.
And you have to flip through like 33 pages to get to the story.
Right.
And
clickbait.
They go on and on and on and on and on about details. They show pictures that are not even relevant.
Right.
And the latest one I looked at was some dog that got stuck in a tree and got petrified. I don't mean scared petrified. I mean mummified. I should say it wasn't petrified. It was mummified because of the tannins in the It was an oak tree or something like that. And then over the years, they figured that the dog had been in there like 80 years.
Oh, my God.
The tree grew, so the dog was found 40 feet up the tree. And how it got found was these loggers took this tree down, and they knew something was bizarro about it. So what was killing me in the pictures they were showing a rich Douglas fir Pacific Northwest forest, a guy cutting down a tree with that, and they're talking about someplace back east.
Well, yeah, they just pulled up a stock image.
Yeah, they pulled up a stock image, but it was like, that's not the right place.
Yeah.
They could have at least found something that was a little more relevant.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's what kills me about those things. So I digress. Where were we?
Amazon is
finding
enlisting
sidebars.
Customers to help educate the A-Lady. A new feature called A-L-E-X-A Answers lets customers contribute responses to questions that currently trip up the digital helper. Amazon rolling out this feature now on an invitation-only basis. So it's kind of like the pyramid
Wikipedia.
Show. Well, the show where you had the lifelines and you could call a friend or the audience could contribute the right answer. Apparently, it takes a village to raise a virtual assistant, this article in PC Magazine. Amazon is now enlisting its customers to help educate the A-Lady.
Okay, the thing about it is, what could possibly go wrong with this?
Yeah. Anybody remember Tay?
Yes.
Because people have...
It was
the bot who was sadly... turned into a misogynistic, hate speech spewing. Oh.
I shouldn't laugh, but it's like, really? You didn't have that figured out, that possibility figured out before you put this to work? Well, what can I say?
Amazon says while the digital assistant can answer the vast majority of questions customers are asking every day, every once in a while customers will throw a curveball with various questions like, where was Barbara Bush buried? Or who wrote the musical score for Lord of the Rings? Or what are corks made of?
Oh,
apparently that's
baffles. A good one. Oh, we'll have to go home and ask that one and see what the answer is.
Now, there are some Easter eggs hidden in the digital assistant.
There's some fun things.
If you are socially hip to some things, you can ask... What is the answer to life, the universe, and everything?
That's popular culture. Yep. Yes, popular
you
culture.
You can aware. Ask your assistant to open the pod bay doors. there's a number of these little pop culture Easter eggs in there.
Fun things. I don't know how people discover them. We usually read about them or something like that.
Yeah. But this is indicative of what could possibly go wrong with it, because we see how people can get in there and misedit Wikipedia or the learning artificial intelligence.
Well, all you need to do is start a campaign, a verbal campaign, or start a campaign, say, on social media about how to educate the A-Lady and A-Device it could get interesting.
Amazon has set up an Answers website where invited users, right now this is in beta only, it's strictly by invitation because they weren't
stupid.
What could
go wrong with this? They probably remembered Tay.
Yeah. The virtual assistant does know answers to things like questions like, how many birds migrate, or where was the world's largest wave surfed? If a user does know the answer to one of the questions, they can type a response and submit it. Then after it is vetted, when someone asks that same question in the future, Alexa can. Oh, I said it. She can respond with the answer, attributing the information to an Amazon customer.
Oh, there we go.
According to Amazon customer. So community.
It's sort of like Ask Jeeves used to be that kind of thing.
Or Wikipedia, which is a community edited.
Right.
And unfortunately, it gets used a lot for political stuff.
But
it is highly self-correcting, if you've noticed that about Wikipedia. And people can say, oh, no, it is all orchestrated by these people or whoever these people are.
Playing Trivial Pursuit just will not be the same.
Yeah.
So, and that was one of the frustrations, actually, about the A device or the G device that a friend of ours was having, would ask very sophisticated questions like, or very detailed questions like that, trivial trivia-based questions, if you will, and there's no answer.
Mm-hmm.
And he was asking for analyses of, okay, in 1963 in the state of Georgia, how many blah, blah.
Right. Numerous qualifiers.
Right.
And that just baffled the daylights. Yeah.
It's just not set up to do that.
It will be, eventually.
Yep.
But right now, and it's like doing command strings on your Google Home. Now, you can give a complex command. For example, we commanded our commanded our Google Home to set an alarm Monday through Thursday at 5 a.m. And you think about it, that's a multi-part command.
Yeah, that's pretty sophisticated
and
interpretation.
The system was able to parse through that and execute it properly. So it's getting better to think, you know, this stuff didn't exist just a couple of years ago in any form. And now voice response, artificial intelligence, or machine learning, let's call it what it is, voice response machine learning is leaps and bounds ahead of where it was just a few years ago. So one of the things that I miss, and how could you possibly put it together, is a TV guide for all your streaming video. Wouldn't that be nice? Because you know that somebody somewhere has got your favorite movie on.
Right, right, right. That would be, well, what do they call that?
IMDb.
DB, yeah.
Updating it is quite an effort.
Oh, yeah. What was that thing they used to have in music stores and video stores where you could look up an artist or the name of a movie? You could look up an artist, the name of a movie, or an actor or whatever. And it would list everything, say, that the actors get involved with. Or you could look up a genre. You could look up the title, and you could look up an actor.
Yeah. Now,
and then keeping that update is really something.
Now, we've made use of the X-ray function to follow up information.
Well, and the other thing that's annoying, too, they sort of have a TV guide on Netflix and that sort of thing. But you have to, it favors certain listings, I think, sometimes. And it doesn't show everything that you're looking for. And if you cannot go and search, like, even who has something. So, for instance, I was interested in trying to find the TV show The Virginian.
Yeah.
But who has it, if anybody has it, and then you can't find it. So it's a little frustrating and probably not as complete as it should be.
And there we go. All right, we're going to go ahead and give this a try. Our phone system is still being calibrated, and we've got Lori on the line. And let's see if... hi, Lori.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Can you hear me?
We can hear you just fine.
Awesome. I listen to your show because technology is my absolute blind spot. I still have a track phone. I call my home landline to check messages. I rarely give out my cell phone, which I keep in my car for emergency. I rely on your show. As much as I can, I listen, and some stuff I don't even know what you're talking about.
We get accused of that fairly often.
Yeah, I've got to change some settings there. But
well, here's my compliment and a tiny request before. It sounds like you are finishing up your broadcasting the end of the month or something.
Yeah,
is that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Here's the compliment. I listen to a lot of talk shows. Radio, audio is one way I get my information so I can work while I listen. The two of you have such a rapport that you never really crosstalk, interrupt, go off on stray oddball path and laugh about just some ridiculous stuff. And I'm not even going to name the names of shows that still need to improve and find the right mix of a pairing, let's call it that. And I'm sure it's very difficult because you have to watch the clock and advertising, and there's a lot that has to go on and still keep the flow. I want to tremendously commend the both of you on that. And I'm going to miss the show. I don't know if you can ever be a guest on somebody else's show and do it that way. I don't know. But I would still like to hear a little bit more on 5G, why there's such a massive push erecting these towers that are high band frequencies used by the military for crowd control. You know, we've heard that in the news, the brain hearing issues from some of the consulate people. Affects the eyeballs, skin, the absorption. And I just don't know why we need this fast SpaceX and Elon Musk and the rest of the stuff that we don't really get to even digest and absorb, like, what is it? What are the dangers? What are the risks? What are the benefits? It just feels like it's another thing crammed.
Sounds to me like you're already pretty informed about technology.
But yeah, well, we tried to look at, because are you still there?
Yep, I am.
Okay. And I'm still adjusting this thing, so keep going while I make an adjustment here.
Well,
sure thing.
Lori, we really appreciate that compliment. Believe it or not, we kind of make it up as we go along. Maybe that's what makes it so fun. I don't know.
Well, or you just know each other's and you have your intuition down and you're not about your ego and an agenda that you constantly trample each other's sentences.
Oh,
and
no.
Tell you.
We tried to kill each other if we tried to do that.
That would never work.
Bob and Brenda, you can do that in the car or in your new home. But yeah. You somehow don't do it on the radio, which...
Oh, this is pretty much genuine us.
We've gotten along pretty well over the years. Actually, this is starting to sound like we're getting it dialed in, don't you think?
You can
still hear
better.
Us just fine, right?
It's there's a little bit of clipping on you. And
you
me.
Still hear us okay?
But
well, I know you were at the top of the hour real soon. Do you have your last broadcast date set then, or what?
Probably going
29th
to be the 29th.
Of December, yeah.
Yeah. Right.
And Boomer Tech is maybe on a hiatus. We don't know quite yet what we're going to do. It may... evolve into something different, or it may move to a new home.
I know you have to get settled, but I really, really, for a non-tech person, I could understand and follow most of what you said, and if I didn't, oh, well, I can always look it up or, you know.
We appreciate that.
And reference to your having your track phone or whatever, you know, there's some that would say you're a smart lady by not having all of these technology devices that kind of, sometimes end up ruling your life to a certain extent. I know that if I leave my cell phone at home, which happens occasionally, I have to judge the day as to what's going on. Some days it's like, fine, I don't care. Anybody that wants to get a hold of me, I have other ways of getting a hold of them and saying, hey, you know, you got to call me at my desk or something like that for today.
I totally understand when people have an occupation or career that they have to be on some devices or an iPad or you fill in the blank. But there's those of us that still can work at home or have our own independence that we can still control a little bit of how much of the damage and the radiation, because my ears fall off if I'm on a cell phone for too long. They just burn off.
I think most of us would have cauliflower ear after that time.
Yeah. That or my hair falls out, one or the other. So.
All right,
you guys, thank you for taking my call.
No problem.
Thank you.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Well, she does make a good point. And first, it's not for everybody. We point out, we try not to freak people out.
Well, no, but it you know, we've always kind of used this as an education, news reporting kind of show to inform people about what's in the tech news. And so if studies and reports and things like that,
right,
if studies and reports are coming out that show one thing one way or another, and there's so much we don't know about the universe and how it works and cause and effect, you know, I'm reminded, you know, fire is a big subject in this area this year. Unintended consequences of putting forest fires out for decades.
Right.
Had
right.
no idea really what would happen because just didn't understand. Now we understand a whole lot more. We didn't get here in a few years, so we're not going to solve the problem in a few years, but at
right.
least
people
we understand that more
immediate,
about the dynamic
yeah.
and the cause and effect of things. And, you know, we as humans, we continue to learn about these things.
People
so
want the immediate fix.
Technology is no different.
Yeah. So we're coming up on our break. We got some suggestions for what you can get for the holidays. Like I said, if I was looking for a person who is not super tech savvy and I wanted to give them something to try out, I'd go with one of those Amazon tablets because they are pretty spiffy devices. Coming up, and we've got another full hour of Boomer Tech Radio. It's Bob and Brenda, tech news you can use. More after the top of the hour. It's a given that your car or light truck is going to need service sooner or later, and often waiting until later means a lot bigger repair bill. Now, there are many repair shops in town, so it pays to do your research and find out where your friends and neighbors take their vehicles and check reviews online as well. Advanced Automotive of Reading is listed on RepairPal.com, where customers just like you talk about their experience. Advanced Auto has been making quality auto care easy since 1993 and has a philosophy of keeping things simple. Stop by their shop at 5756 F West Side Road just off Bonneview. You'll see vehicles from local businesses and first responders in the yard because those customers rely on cars and trucks that are safe and reliable. But more than that, safe vehicles mean a safer community. And honestly, it's the right way to do business. Check them out for yourself. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Reading, 244-4423.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockster. President Trump says his chief of staff, John Kelly, will leave his job at the end of this year.
The president didn't say immediately who will replace Kelly, a retired Marine general who served as chief of staff since July of last year. But the president says an announcement about a replacement will be coming in the next day or two. The president spoke to reporters at the White House before departing for the Army-Navy football game in Philadelphia. He calls Kelly a great guy. Bob Agnew reporting.
Overseas, Belgian police and demonstrators mixing it up in Brussels today as the Yellow Vest protest spills over from France. Protesters smashed street signs and traffic lights near the office of Prime Minister Charles Michel as crowds called for him to resign. It was the same scene in Paris for another weekend of violence, this time with over 8,000 police on hand in the capital city, 80,000 dispersed over the course of the country to take on these protesters who are calling for President Macron to step down over fuel tax increases and cost of living hikes. Meanwhile, in the Netherlands, a peaceful crowd gathered outside the Dutch parliament in The Hague. New court filings in cases involving former Trump lawyer Michael Cohen and former campaign chair Paul Manafort capped a week of revelations in the special counsel's probe into possible coordination between the Trump campaign and Russia. President Trump says the latest court filings are good for him.
We're very happy with what we are reading because there was no collusion whatsoever. There never has been. The last thing I want is help from Russia on a campaign.
Winter storm Diego moving through the northwest Texas, dumping 10 inches of snow on Lubbock overnight, making its way east through Oklahoma, Arkansas, into North Carolina, where Winston-Salem's expected to get upwards of 12 inches of snow when it's all said and done. News and analysis at townhall.com.
Pat Boone here again, and I assure you, I have never before endorsed a pain relief product. Not until now. Not until Relief Factor came along as a 100% drug-free solution for people struggling with ordinary pain. Quite simply, Relief Factor was designed by doctors to help relieve those occasional aches and pains due to aging, exercise, and everyday living. Let me ask you, are aches and pains keeping you from sleeping through the night? Or keeping you from taking those nice long walks or playing golf or tennis? You can't really call it living if you can't get around comfortably. The 3-week quick start from Relief Factor may be all you need to lower or even eliminate these pains. A whole lot of people have already gone to ReliefFactor.com, and here's something you need to know. The majority of people who order the 3-week quick start, now only $19.95, go on to order more. Let's see if we can get you out of pain too. Go to ReliefFactor.com.
A mountain lion who survived numerous treacherous freeway crossings and a massive wildfire northwest of Los Angeles has died.
Authorities using data from his tracking collar found the remains of P-64 earlier this week in an unburned area of the Simi Hills. P-64 was a 4-year-old male whose territory included the hills and parts of the Santa Monica Mountains. Researchers say the big cat suffered burn paws but survived last month's Woolsey fire that ravaged the area. He was last known to be alive on November 26th. There's no word yet of the cause of death. P-64 was dubbed the Culvert Cat because he used a storm drain to cross two treacherous freeways 41 times. Patrick Foss reporting.
On this date in 1941, the United States entered World War II as Congress declared war against Imperial Japan a day after the Empire attacked Pearl Harbor, killing over 2,400. Breaking news and analysis at Town Hall. Dot com. The Secret Service has ended nearly 40 years of protecting former President George H.W. Bush with a tribute.
The detail officially ended Friday morning, the day after Bush was buried at his presidential library in College Station, Texas. The Secret Service nickname for the 41st president, Timberwolf. Some agents became close friends. Agents were honorary pallbearers at this week's funeral events. The Secret Service paid tribute to the late president on Twitter, posting photos from 2013 when Bush shaved his head in support of an agent's 2-year-old son with leukemia. Bush's daughter Robin died of the disease at the age of 3. I'm Warren Levinson.
Tim Rossovich, a consensus All-American defensive end at Southern Cal who went on to play in the NFL with the Philadelphia Eagles, the San Diego Chargers, and the Houston Oilers, has died. Tim Rossovich was 72 years old. Check out more on these stories by logging on to townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
It might be the car or light truck that gets you to your job every day. Maybe your child drives it to school. Or perhaps your drivers deliver goods to the customers who keep your business going. The bottom line is, you rely heavily on that vehicle to be safe and reliable day after day, and that means regular maintenance by professionals trained in the latest automotive repair techniques. For Brenda and myself, that means Advanced Automotive is the only repair shop we trust with our personal vehicles. Advanced Automotive does everything they can to make car care easy. Founded in 1993 by Tim Morlock and now owned by his son Cody, carrying on a tradition of honest work at a fair price. Find out for yourself by visiting AdvancedAutoReading.com or go to RepairPal.com, or you could just call 530-244-4423. It's a great little repair shop that's a bit hard to find, but worth the effort. At 5756 F West Side Road in Reading. Advanced Automotive.
Once again, it's Boomer Tech Radio. I'm Bob Belongi.
Along with Brenda Belongi.
Analog living in a digital world. Goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, and the catchy little theme music that you hear each and every week is composed and performed by a gentleman from the UK named George Wood. He was kind enough to give us permission to use the theme for the show after we recorded it off of the PodSafe Music Network, because it's oriented for podcasters. And we said, can we use it on our on-the-air show? He says, well, if you actually make any money doing the show, send me a check. And, well... didn't happen, but we do appreciate...
Well, it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah,
anyway.
We appreciate George giving us permission to use 8-Bit Junkie as our theme show. As we've mentioned, if you're just joining us, the 29th, the broadcast on the 29th will be our final Boomer Tech Radio broadcast on KCNR. The show may reinvent itself at some point in the future, after we get moved and settled into our new digs up north. I don't know, Lori had a good idea. Maybe Carl and Linda want to do some kind of segment that we could do via Skype or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Once a week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like a 6 p.m. evening show or something along those lines. Although that might be a little tough to pull off, but we'll think about it.
Through the miracle of electronics.
Thank you very much, Jack Redney. By the way, our elderly friend, Jack, who is a person of fame or notoriety, the Winnebago Man, is a personal friend of ours. We had to go see. If you've never seen the Winnebago Man and you have a...
Tolerance
for NSFW. If you have a tolerance for not safe for work language.
Yes. Colorful metaphors.
Yes, because he...
The F-bomb is quite prevalent.
He drops the F-bomb. He carpet bombs with the F-bomb. But he's a brilliant man, very passionate, and he's 87. And he took ill the last time we were up there, and he was pretty sick. He went into pneumonia because Jack is a stubborn... He's a stubborn man, and he waited too long to go to the hospital.
Quite possibly technology, which he doesn't really understand all that much, played a role in very quickly diagnosing his situation and helping out.
Yeah, because he called one of these telemedicine things, and I can just imagine that conversation. Because, you know, these automated systems tend to ask you really dumb, basic questions.
Fundamental and expect a very simple answer.
Yeah.
And
Jack does not give simple answers.
No.
But we love him, and that's one of our favorite phrases from Jack is, through the miracle of electronics, because when he started in media, it was all tubes, and the TV cameras were roughly the size of a Cooper Mini.
He used film.
In fact, I know, sorry about that. I'm not getting pneumonia, but even though it sounds like it.
My friend's all better.
I knew people in the media business who would go out and shoot 16-millimeter film for news stories, come back and develop it, and then edit the clips back in the 1960s. That's how you did it before the advent of VCRs.
Well, in video, then when videotapes came along, there
portable video cameras.
Some help there, but you still had a lot of editing.
Yeah, camcorders were originally invented for the ENG, Electronic News Gathering. And I have a friend who was disabled because she carried around a Betacam, again, that was still ginormous.
By today's standards,
yeah,
yes.
Holding the thing. And now you see them out there, they've got a full broadcast truck and a backpack. And that's where,
just amazing.
Nowhere did we see that quite as dramatic as during the fires when they had people out there on their iPhones getting footage from the locations. I remember when I covered a fire, as I like to say, a recovering journalist, the French fire. Remember that? Now, I had a laptop computer and a webcam that I connected to the laptop computer, and I drove through, and it was just a crappy picture, but people wanted to see the images because they would let me in, and I drove around. Here I am in a ragtop Jeep driving through a fire area. Not the brightest day of my life.
Oh, dear me.
Yeah. And you know that area around French Gulch where there's stuff falling off the hillsides, rollers they call them.
Mm-hmm.
And I was expecting to have a flaming log land in my passenger seat any second. It was quite the
experience.
Well, it was like something out of a movie. Speaking of friends of ours, speaking of fires and driving through fires, we went to go see our friends who we mentioned were involved in the Paradise Fire. They had to escape that hell inferno. Their car, the passenger side mirror, is partially melted.
Mm-hmm. And then
that's how close it got.
It was interesting. The pine trees were dripping hot pitch.
Yeah.
Onto the car, and there's a whole bunch of scorched
pitch. This is a really nice car, and the clear coat is gone.
Yeah, I really wonder what that's going to do long-term to the finish of the car.
Yeah.
And they also had a wheelchair on a rack on the back of the car, and there's definitely some melt spots on the cushions in the wheelchair. It's a wonder they didn't have more.
Yeah.
And that it might have, you know, torched off and whatever. And it did cross their minds that they may not make it out of this situation, they did. It took them 6 hours to accomplish what is normally about a 30-minute drive.
But again, thanks to...
There's
a lot of people who have problems with all the mobile technology, but this was a well-documented fire. Our friends took cell phone footage, and like this appear in the car fire in Reading, that Firenado was documented. It's not like this is the first time it ever happened, but this is one of the first times that people were in a position with the kind of recording equipment in their pocket, i.e. their
high
iPhones,
quality, high quality visuals,
to get all these images.
Mm-hmm.
And that has just been a huge boon for researchers who have tried to figure out just what the heck happened with this thing. And that's going to be that's going to keep some researchers busy for decades, Brenda, don't you think?
I would think so.
The Great Firenado.
Yeah, there's already been some additional papers written about it, and there was also a lot of other technical information available about conditions. So that was very helpful. There's still some speculation about certain aspects of it, but You know, and this is not unprecedented. We've had other fire tornadoes occur, but this hit in an urban area, and this hit in a very well-documented situation. So
yeah, and lots of people around to take pictures of it.
Mm-hmm.
Now you didn't go to this thing, but there was discussion and I won't get into too deep into the weeds on this. There was discussion about using satellites as early detection systems rather than the lonely lookout sitting in a tower atop a mountaintop goes out and takes the field glasses and looks around once an hour looking for smoke. There's actually satellite technology that may provide.
It's already being done.
Yeah.
This is
to get assets moving faster to try to get the fire out earlier.
Already been done.
Mm-hmm.
The current generation of weather satellites, GOES 16 and GOES 17, are being used operationally in that capacity, particularly GOES 16, which is GOES East now. There are many well-documented cases in the Oklahoma area, for instance, where the National Weather Service has been able to identify hotspots. There is an algorithm, it's an AI that can mm-hmm. do this. And they have called in fires before the 911 has been called.
Mm.
And this is all based on satellite data. Now, the tricky part is when you get into the western states where you have a lot of areas where there is no one, right? And you're doing recons and things like that, or aircraft recons, or you have lookout towers. It's not clear yet what the capability of that system is going to be to detect new fire starts, be it from lightning or people,
mm-hmm.
either way. Because Oklahoma is one, flat by our standards, and two, it's kind of bald.
Yeah.
It doesn't really have a lot of trees. So when you put that in convoluted terrain in the west and under thick, heavy tree canopies, like in the Pacific Northwest, for instance, or even in areas here in Northern California in particular, How well does that work? And so that is to be determined yet. But what you're talking about has already been done.
Now, a lot of people, when you mention the word surveillance drones, they go freak out, snaky George Orwell, 1984. My God, they're looking down the back of my neck. But I could foresee, because right now we have aircraft that go out looking for hot spots and things like that that cost a fortune to operate, and you've got pilots and observers who, you know, first of all, you've got people looking out a window for extended periods of time. I would foresee a time, and I imagine there's been research done on this, I think you mentioned it, for deployable drones over high-risk areas that have a long time. You know, military does this all the time,
mm-hmm.
where these civilian drones could be launched and survey. I mean, they're not looking in somebody's backyard. They're looking over a vast area, watching for the first indications of a fire.
So satellites are very efficient at this because they maintain, particularly the GOES ones, which mm-hmm. are geostationary, they maintain a constant position and eye on the Earth's surface. So even low-orbiting satellites could do this sort of thing as well. I was involved, and I will be again this year, in some requests for research grants. And last year, a lot of the proposals were involving drones out doing forest patrol.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a lot of problems with that. First of all, the Federal Aviation Administration doesn't allow some of these activities to take place. That's starting to loosen up. There's some changes coming mm-hmm. with that.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, some of it's not practical. How do they recharge and blah, blah, blah? There's a lot of stuff going on with
servicing
that.
Servicing the drone. Yeah,
servicing the drone and that sort of thing. So there already is a lot of interest and research being done in that direction because you don't want to put too much stuff in the air. It's sort of like you're getting too much space junk up there,
yeah.
right? So there's some problems with that. But this sort of thing is being done. So even higher altitude, fairly low orbit, if you want to look at it that way, very low orbit, drones, sure.
Yeah.
That could be looking for that kind of thing, and it can be very cost-effective, actually.
Yeah. Now, one of the things that we pointed out during the car fire, there were several days when the tankers, for safety reasons, couldn't fly. And there was a lot of consternation about that. Why aren't those tankers, why aren't those helicopters operating? It was because the air was too thick with smoke and other junk, and it was too big of a risk for the pilots. How far would we be from a technology that would allow automated tankers that can operate in any weather condition, essentially, the same as our military aircraft can? I guess all it takes is money, right?
Well, yeah, a lot of things could be done with money, but...
Basically, aircraft that could deliver retardant in times of extremely, at night, or just really bad visibility, using a combination of infrared and radar and GPS.
These things are probably coming, because firefighting done remotely like that certainly takes the human out of the firefighting picture, which, of course, it's hazardous potentially to firefighters' health in more ways than one. Not only are they put in danger, but they're put in a very smoky environment. Some people handle that, never develop any respiratory problems long term, live out fine lives into their 80s and 90s, and others have to quit by the time they're 35 because they can't deal with it.
Urban areas where you're breathing stuff you really should not be breathing.
Well, that's true. When you get into structure fires, that's a whole different kind of smoke. You definitely don't want to be breathing that.
Yeah. Well, I remember some of the smells around here when we had our big fire during the summer. Anyway, interesting stuff. It'll be fun to observe. And like I said, we may create a podcast, and if we do, we'll let people who are connected to us know, and the virus will hopefully spread.
So many curiosities to indulge in, and so many things. Endless material, because the things that are always in the technological world are always changing.
So before Lori called, like half an hour ago, we were starting to talk about a TV guide for your streaming apps. Now, if you got Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, which we've got all three of those, we got Netflix, Hulu, and Amazon. They're like your big three right now. And somebody asked me, they didn't know the difference between Netflix and a Roku.
Oh, yeah. And what else is it someone asked us? They didn't even know what Hulu was.
Right, right.
And,
Now, Hulu used to be, it's a streaming service, and it used to be just crap.
Well, it had interest, it has very eclectic, it had eclectic things on it. I kind of wish
it's mainstream
we,
now.
That's the problem, because that was what was so cool about Hulu in the beginning. Remember that really cool little British sci-fi show we thought
Australian
that was really
something? Yeah.
Whoever was on there was speaking the Queen's English.
Yes, yes.
It was really interesting.
I mean, the production values are very Doctor Who-ish.
Oh, well,
If you're a fan of that show, the 1970s Doctor Who.
Fairly typical British scripting and that sort of thing, but and visuals. But, that era of Doctor Who.
Yeah. We really enjoy some of those shows, and we'll have to search around. Right now we're doing a lot of the mainstream stuff. We watched right now on Hulu, we're watching episodes of The Last Ship.
Yeah, but we're slow.
Yeah, we are slow.
We get to these things after the fact.
We binge watch and nibbles.
Well, we wait to hear about the good stuff, and then we'll go binge watch it and catch up with everybody. So we're always a little behind when it comes to these popular things, but at the same time, when you start watching them and then you make some reference, it's really interesting who you find that says they understand the reference that you make.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a show that we like called Dark Matter.
Yeah.
It's
a Canadian show, actually. Surprisingly good.
Is there another season coming up?
I don't know.
Kind of interestingly done, but they have an android in there. It's a sci-fi show. And they have an android on board their ship. And I was talking to somebody the other day, and I said, you know, the person that they were asking, a person that had applied for a job, I said, their reaction reminds me of Android on Dark Matter, the way they say, okay.
Yeah.
So if you're not familiar with that, you can check it out. The Android's
kind of the same
thoroughly
okay
amusing.
as your Fire Cube gives you when you give it a command.
Oh, yeah. It's not quite snarky. It's just way too cheerful.
Yeah. Now, back in the prehistoric era, by the way, this is a article that comes to us courtesy of BGR. Andy Meek wrote it. Back in the prehistoric era, where you were forced to watch whatever was on a TV set at that exact moment. Remember those days? Tune in next week. Same time, same station.
Same bat channel.
Yeah. Well, then along came VCRs when we could delay things. and skim through the commercials, which kind of did a big overturn.
That was made the advertisers very angst-ridden there.
People used an ancient text called TV Guide to know what was being shown
an
when.
An ancient text. So now, that's funny right there, because does that mean that the person writing the article is really young and it calls, or are they older and call and being somewhat sarcastic about that? But in a way, it does feel like an ancient text, but I think TV Guide still exists. It's not like it's that old.
One form or another.
You
okay,
can
here we go
online
again.
Anyway.
We're working on the telephone interface, so I'm going to be making some adjustments as we talk. We've got Roberta on the line, and we turn that one up and that one down. Roberta, are you there?
I am, and I really will miss you two so much. I start my Saturday afternoon with you every single week.
Oh, you just made my day.
Yeah, that's kind of you.
Well, you're both so pleasant. And the other thing, I have a 16-year-old grandson who is extremely tech-savvy. In fact, he is teaching adults and kids how to make film.
Oh, bless his heart.
Very good, yeah.
So it's wonderful, except he doesn't have time to help me. So, so you are my help, and I'm going to miss you. And good luck to both of you, and happy moving.
Well, Roberta, thank you very much. I think I'm getting this thing dialed in. You can hear me nice and clear now, right?
Yes, I can hear.
And I don't hear any glitches in our system so. You got to wonder if the technology helps and it hinders
at the technology same time. Guy, now there's a little bit of crackling, but it's not as bad as it was. The technology guy is fighting with the technology when it comes to getting our this new phone system. This is new stuff here at KC in our studios. So
Roberta, I'm kind of curious. Two things. People do tell us a couple things a lot of times. Like Lori last hour said, we don't overtalk each other. What would be the point? Because then, as a listener, you would have a hard time following. And I don't think we do that in our everyday conversations. Bob is the real talent. I'm just the sidekick. I think I've learned a few things. And the pleasant part, that might be an illusion, because when we come in here, it's like, oh, my gosh, we really don't want to do this. But here we go, you know. But we have a lot of fun with it. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. And I've learned a lot, not only about the radio industry, but I've learned a lot about technology as well. So we're very happy that we've been able to help you with whatever it is that you've needed help with.
And I enjoy your son also.
Yes.
I think that you have passed an awful lot of congeniality onto him also. And, Bob, I'm going to miss you in the mornings during the week, too.
Well, thank you very much. And, you know, it's just that we love this town. I'm born and raised here, but I want to go live by the ocean.
Well, I can't blame you for that, and I have listened to you on other radio stations over the years, and you're my favorite.
I blush. Thank you very much, Roberta.
But be careful there, dear. You're dating yourself, because Bob's been in radio for a long time in this town.
Well, yes. I thought back on it. My first gig was 44 years ago across town.
I've been here 78 years, so I beat you, Bob.
All right, there we go. Thanks, Roberta.
All right, good luck, folks.
All right,
thank you.
My goodness. Okay, well, I'm still, my cheeks are red. That was very nice of her to say.
Yes, absolutely. Well, we appreciate the love and support that the community is showing us.
We do, and we felt that we did the lighting Christmas parade a week ago.
That was fun.
And that was a blast.
Yeah, one of my coworkers was across the street from us. I said, why didn't you come over and say hi? Well, I was dealing with my kid who was being a pain.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He said, but I said, why? I felt like I sounded like an idiot. That script was hard for me to follow and track.
Yeah.
They haven't
sent us the follow-up form for feedback.
Last year's format was great.
Guys, bigger, font.
Yeah.
I don't care how much paper you use.
It has to be bigger.
Bigger font.
And it's not because my eyes are older either. It's just when you're trying
to
announce.
It's like an 8 font.
Yeah,
you
when
know.
You're trying to announce something, the larger print really helps. But but anyway, I said, God, I feel like I sounded like an idiot. And he says, no, you guys were great. So it's like, okay, thanks. Appreciate that.
Well, I'm sure that somebody on the committee who has much better eyes than we do said, you know, we're wasting an awful lot of paper for these scripts. Let's make this print a lot smaller. We can print fewer pages.
Well, consider the fact it's the Reading 2030 Club that runs this, not the Reading 5060 Club with aging eyes or aged eyes. Yeah. They'll learn. They'll get there eventually.
Yeah, they will. They will. Old age and treachery will overcome youth and skill every time.
Youth and enthusiasm, yes.
That's an old T-shirt.
Yeah.
Hey, we're going to get to the story about the online TV guide, I promise. We're coming up on the bottom of the hour break, if I can get this. Yeah, well, good derailments.
They're all good derailments. Yes.
We'll be back with a story and a whole lot more of the tech news you can use right after this. Since we started Boomer Tech Radio, Advanced Automotive has been part of our program. But Tim and Cody Morlock are more than just our advertisers. They're our friends, and they are our first choice when we have our personal vehicles serviced. Why? Well, because after your home, your car is probably your second biggest investment, and it's vital that it be safe and dependable. Advanced Automotive has a skilled staff of certified technicians ready to diagnose your vehicle and get it running right. Advanced Automotive is listed on RepairPal.com, a national rating site where customers can leave reviews and even get an estimate on the cost of a repair. Go where the professionals take their vehicles to be serviced. Advanced Automotive in Reading, on the web at AdvancedAutoReading.com. Visit them at 5756 F Westside Road, just off Bonneview. Call them at 530-244-4423. Advanced Automotive. Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information. This Christmas, give the gift of down-home comfort food and treat yourself as well. Buy $25 in gift cards from Black Bear Diner and get $5 in Bear Bucks for your own post-holiday meal. Gift cards are the perfect gift. What better way to send your love than a cozy home-style experience? Stop by Black Bear Diner on Hilltop Drive. Open Christmas and New Year's. Don't forget, you can enjoy your favorite comfort food at home. Order online at blackbeardiner.com, pick up, or have it delivered. Black Bear Diner.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. Merry Christmas from all of us at True Life Church. We pray that you have a wonderful celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ. This is a great country that from the beginning was established with freedom of religion, a freedom to worship God as you choose. We are very thankful for the Constitution and its rule of law, and we offer a sincere thank you to the men and women who are willing to give their life and live their life to keep this country free. If you are looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon. And remember, it's worth the ride.
When you need assistance applying for veteran benefits, consider utilizing the Shasta County Veteran Service Office. Our veteran representatives are all military veterans that are highly trained and fully accredited, giving you the best support possible. This is Celestina Traver, your Shasta County Veteran Service Officer. We welcome you to our office at 1855 Shasta Street to see what benefits are awaiting you. Please call us at 225-5616.
Well, this is Carl and Linda Bott. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here in the studios at KCNR 1460. On Monday, we welcome Assemblyman Brian Daly. Let's find out from Brian what happens when the Democrat supermajority starts to lean on us up in the North State. Also, Shasta College with the latest on their athletic program. All of this Monday here at Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Miss a day, miss a lot.
It's a given that your car or light truck is going to need service sooner or later, and often, waiting until later means a lot bigger repair bill. Now, there are many repair shops in town, so it pays to do your research and find out where your friends and neighbors take their vehicles and check reviews online as well. Advanced Automotive of Reading is listed on RepairPal.com, where customers just like you talk about their experience. Advanced Auto has been making quality auto care easy since 1993 and has a philosophy of keeping things simple. Stop by their shop at 5756 F West Side Road, just off Bonneview. You'll see vehicles from local businesses and first responders in the yard because those customers rely on cars and trucks that are safe and reliable. But more than that, safe vehicles mean a safer community. And honestly, it's the right way to do business. Check them out for yourself. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Reading, 244-4423.
For one more segment,
Bummer Tech Radio, and the show's just flying by today, mercifully so, for some people.
Maybe, well, it's flying by for us. That doesn't mean that it's flying by for the listeners.
Oh, dear
they
me.
Can say, oh, my God, thank God there's only 25 more minutes of this left.
Hey, big thanks, of course, to our good friends down there at Advanced Automotive of Reading, safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community, 5756 F West Side Road. Cody and Tim Morlock will take good care of your vehicle.
This is the first move that I'll have made in my career that I have been able to use online technology to search out resources. You know, you got to find a new vet. You have to find a new car doctor. You have to find a new people doctor. You have to find a new dentist. You have to find all kinds of new practitioners for your everyday things when you move to a new town. I used to try to get a hold of the Yellow Pages from a phone book from the place I was moving to scan through things and check some of these things out. Now you can get online, use Yelp, and this sort of thing, which is actually a lot more helpful because you can find who's good at what they do in town faster that way.
Mm-hmm.
But Tim and Cody at Advanced Automotive are irreplaceable. I know I'm not going to find an auto shop like Advanced Automotive in the new digs. Mm-hmm. It's just unlikely. I'm sure, though, that there's a good practitioner there somewhere.
They are great folks.
The thing about it is, the Morlocks have set a standard in my expectations of how service can be, and so I pity the new people because I'm going to be a little ruthless at any rate. So, finally, we're getting to modern-day TV guide story.
Yes, finally. And we appreciate the calls, by all means. And we get a little derailed, but we love it. Plus, you gave me a chance to kind of fiddle with some settings here. As we mentioned, you know, the TV guide was at one point was a staple.
Oh yeah.
In everybody's, if you didn't have a subscription to TV Guide, we had what was called the Green Sheet. Here in Reading, and the Green Sheet was the local guide. It was printed on a green-tinted paper.
Oh, interesting.
And that was a big thing. If you lost the Green Sheet, if you accidentally used that to start the fire in the fireplace, you were toast.
You were not popular.
Yeah.
And used to be articles in TV Guide that people would reference as well.
Yeah, it was a big deal for a while. Well, right now, if I wanted to look for a particular movie, I would have to search through all kinds of places to see, because the first thing that's going to pop up is where I can pay to watch the movie.
Of course.
Amazon likes to do that. If you do a voice search on Amazon for a particular movie, they're going to, well, naturally, they're going to show you the one that's going to cost you $5 to begin with.
Right. They set that those things up front.
Mm-hmm.
You have to wade deeper and do, you know, but it takes time.
Google is testing a new feature that would provide a digital version of TV Guide so users can know what content they can find on which streaming app. And right now, the streaming apps, carriers are very reluctant to let the cat out of the bag early on what shows they're going to be carrying for the upcoming month.
True.
Because they don't want you to look around. They want you to stay on their service.
Right.
Because
well,
that's where the money is.
Unfortunately, that's not the way humans work, right?
Yeah.
They're going to shop around. And oftentimes people have more than one subscription, witness us, with three, I guess, or two.
Yeah.
Three. We have three. And it's still cheaper than cable.
I'm
going to
be sorely tempted by the Disney Plus app because the whole Marvel catalog's moving over there.
Right. So that was going to be one of my points is that you have certain content, just like the cable channels have done. You have Stars and you have... You know, this movie network and that movie network only
sign
exclusives. And so these streaming providers do the same thing. Netflix doesn't carry what Amazon carries, doesn't carry what Disney carries, doesn't carry what Hulu carries. So, you know, you end up with all these subscriptions, which is still cheaper than satellite or cable sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely cable for the most part. And you're not subject to a lot of ads and things like that, although that's maybe changing. But still, I've never minded PBS, for instance, that has their promotions at the beginning or end of a show, and the content of the show itself is uninterrupted. That's really, I think, what most of us are looking for is uninterrupted content. If you have ads before or after, and fine. You can tune that out and go use the restroom or whatever.
Yeah.
Get more popcorn, whatever the deal is. Refresh your beverage. At any rate, knowing where things are would be nice, and knowing more about their library content would be nice. For instance, the other day I said something about, Westerns, and all of the Westerns they showed were modern Westerns. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking for more classic Westerns. So.
Yeah, you may want to put classic Westerns into the search box.
That's true.
A new Google search feature that is currently being tested is still in a beta. Google has confirmed it is being worked on. No word yet on a wider rollout. Google says they're always experimenting with new ways to help people find relevant information. There's nothing to announce at this time. Google earlier this year started working with various streaming content providers to make their offerings searchable in the Google Play Movies and TV app. And it would now seem like this functionality is now moving into the broader search. So we will see, but it will be nice to be able to, if you have a favorite movie I want to see Casablanca. You want a fully restored version of Casablanca, you should be able just to say, right now, if you say, I want to watch Casablanca, it's going to offer to sell it to you.
Yeah, probably.
But is
anybody commerce.
Offering it on a stream?
Right. And maybe you can say that, too, and refine your search is... streaming no fee type thing or whatever, whatever phraseology you can come up with.
Because legally, when you buy a movie on disc, you don't really own the movie.
No.
You have a physical copy and you have paid for a license to view that movie.
Right.
Now, the studios are saying, we've talked about this, we want to get paid every time somebody watches that movie. It's like a song.
Right.
Royalty.
Right. They want royalties off of it. Guarantee you the actors won't benefit as much from that as the studios will, just to be sarcastic.
Yeah.
But one thing, too, even though we've been talking about Google having this app and search functionality or whatever, Apple's TV or Apple TV, the Apple TV app,
mm-hmm.
or Apple's TV app. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. I think they mean the Apple TV app.
Right.
Also provides something similar, and it has been out there. So this isn't new, if you will. Google isn't, breaking new ground here. But it's device compatibility, I guess, is really what I'm getting at here. Apple has its version. Google has its version. So beta versus VHS kind of things. Sort of. Not so exactly.
I'm diverting off on a sidebar here real quick. Literally, on a soundbar. Now, we've got a little Samsung soundbar to go with our Samsung TV, and it's okay. I mean, it certainly isn't theater quality, but it is adequate for our environment. But home audio, you know, Bose has been the king of sound quality, a rather overpriced king. Everybody wants Bose speakers, but mostly it's the price keeping people away from them.
Yes, they are quite proud of their products that way.
Bose is offering an entry level, the Bose Solo 5 TV sound system, on sale for $199. And
that's a pretty reasonably priced.
For as much as this stuff, we've got a Bose Bluetooth speaker that's about the size of a Blackboard eraser. And that little sucker will fill a room.
A little bigger than that, but yeah.
It's
about the size of a hardcover book.
Not quite the size of a brick.
Yeah, half. Yeah, about the size of a brick.
Yeah, about the size of a brick. Weighs about as much as a brick.
Yeah.
but it has an incredible sound output.
Pretty amazing. Those people do engineer their stuff. So $200 for a Bose basic soundbar is probably not too bad, and probably sounds a lot better than a lot of other $200 mm-hmm. soundbars. I think the one we had was $150 or something like that on sale.
We were shopping soundbars at Costco, and some of those, like the one from Yamaha with the surround sound, I mean, you're
pretty
hearing
amazing.
Stuff behind you.
Yeah, from a speaker that's in front of you.
That's sitting in front of you some digital trickery.
Right. So that's, you know, how is that possible? And it is. It's digital trickery. But it does give you that experience. So that'll be our next upgrade, is that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now I know that you are into squids and cephalopods and things like that.
Absolutely.
The Monterey Bay Aquarium. Now, remember the Bagelgate thing? And people were making fun of Apple's emoji that showed a bagel, and it was really a kind of it looked like a store-bought nasty
donut or something. Yeah.
Well, now the squid emoji is being called out for being incorrect.
I had not heard this.
This is a big controversy for Apple. The Monterey Bay Aquarium says the squid is physiologically incorrect. Essentially, Apple's lack of biological accuracy means that the squid would, among other things, poop out of its face.
I'm sorry to laugh on air, but that's funny. Oh, my goodness. And actually,
The posts here are funny. Wasn't sure if they'd try to spin this one for ocean awareness. Here we are. Apple's squid emoji is upside down. Not even squidding. The siphon should be behind the head instead of looking like a weird nose.
Yes, it's pretty interesting. So, oh, my goodness. Well, hopefully no one's taken the squid issue too seriously, but this is what happens when you mess with scientists.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so you know how I am about snowflakes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Printed snowflakes with 8 points don't exist in the real world. You know, if you see a snowflake that's drawn, you know, on printed on wrapping paper or something, and it has 8 points, that is not what happens in nature. 12 points is okay so long as 6 of them are longer than the other 6.
Yeah.
Snowflakes are, in all their variations, whether they're plates or more spiky, if you will, have 6 points.
Yeah.
Period. So my family knows, everybody that I'm close to knows, you don't get me anything with snowflakes on it that isn't scientifically correct.
I
adore snowflakes. I think they're beautiful.
I have to ask, though. Now, emojis are little cartoonish character images that we use to convey an idea. Some people use them as an entire language. Some emojis have been removed. The Apple gun emoji was removed because people were offended by it, thought it was too violent, so they replaced it with a cartoon squirt gun, and then that was removed, I think. There is no gun emoji. anymore. I'll have to look. This is the sort of thing that is so freaking far below my radar. But other people get all wrapped up around this.
I probably wouldn't have paid that much attention to the squid emoji.
Or like the bagel thing.
There's an octopus, and he does have 8 tentacles, which is correct. So mm-hmm. I checked that out.
But under what circumstances would you be compelled to express yourself with an image of a squid? I'm trying to wrap my brain around just exactly what social circumstance requires a squid.
Well, I might make reference to that if I was going fishing.
Yeah.
You know, I think squid are very interesting. I love to eat them. They make great bait. I love to watch them. Mm-hmm. Fascinating creatures.
Calamari's probably mighty tasty
delicious
stuff.
It is. But, yeah, I don't know as I would use that as an emoji. Although I did use the octopus the other day because a friend of mine was texting me. He was in an aquarium. And I said, oh, send me a picture of the octopus if they have one. He said, well, the octopi died. I said, octopi would be dot, dot, dot. I think I put like 5 squid emojis or 5 octopus emojis.
Okay.
And that sort of thing.
So under that very specific circumstance.
Yes, but I mean, I had that available so I could use it, but I don't know as I would purposely.
But in our day-to-day conversation, squid rarely come up.
Would not be likely to be a typical thing. That's true. There's days I'd like to be an octopus, though, because I need more than one hand.
Under the sea.
Under two, more than 2 hands.
I'd like to be under the sea in an octopus's garden in the shade.
Yeah. Yes. quite whimsical.
Coming soon to a Walmart near you, according to Digital Trends, will be robot janitors. What could possibly go wrong? We rather like the idea of a team of androids making their way around the store with a mop and bucket. The reality isn't quite that cool.
Probably more like Roombas.
The company is... they're sort of like giant Roombas. The California-based Brain Corporation and Walmart teaming up to have 360 robotic janitors working at the stores. The machines were successfully tested at some stores in 2017. They look a little bit like an oversized mobility scooter.
Yep.
So it's sort of like a...
Think about those floor polishers.
Or the street cleaner with the whirligigs on, brushes.
Or a miniature Zamboni.
Yeah, there we go.
Cleaning the ice rink off. Think about those floor polishers they use, and kind of on steroids, though. That is big enough to, unlike a Roomba, which is, 4 inches tall and on the floor, this thing's big enough that it would get your attention if you're in the vicinity of it.
Yeah, presumably it beeps and it stops if you get too close to it. It does have a seat, but it's not for the safety driver or for the kids to enjoy a ride.
Oh, you wait.
It's probably going to have a mode that if somebody climbs into the seat, it stops and starts beeping. They're going to have that.
Why would they have a seat on it in the first place?
The employee, when the machine arrives, the employee can map out a route for the machine to follow.
I see.
Training the vehicle.
I see.
So you teach
it. You have to have some kind of human input there.
Yeah, you teach it how to make its way around the store. And they'll probably do this at, some god-awful hour in the morning when it's not going to be. But rather than, and this is the sort of thing that happens with the $15 an hour minimum wage demands, is that you take these low-skill, repetitive jobs that don't require a brain to perform, and you turn it over to a machine.
You just insulted janitors everywhere.
But you know what I mean. It's a
task that's well suited to an AI and repetitive type of things. Their operations vice president said that the robot is a powerful tool, can take care of monotonous tasks so that the company's human staff can spend more time engaging with customers. Oh, dear.
Mm-hmm. Walmart is also launching an automated in-store pickup tower. Think of it as a giant vending machine from which customers can collect online orders. I could just see this thing with these giant pneumatic tubes.
I know.
Boom! Here comes your refrigerator. We
just
got
like
to
at the bank,
some
right?
Microwave ovens.
Oh, my God. I'm laughing so hard I can't breathe.
Ahuma.
That's too funny. Yeah. Oh, man. Sometimes your creativity just brings these visuals to mind that are just overwhelming. Oh, dear. I don't think anybody wants to see that. Or high-tech car shopping carts. Now, I'd love a shopping cart that what I put in there gives me a total already, and I can just go check out. Actually, that'd be cool. I don't want an app on my phone with that. Yeah. No.
With RFID technology, of course, and Amazon's looking at this for their stores, where as soon as you put the thing in your cart, now, although that does require it to tie to an app.
Yeah, so I don't want it tied to an app. I just want to be able to go to the thing.
Are you sure you want that ice cream?
Yeah, why can't they have a barcode reader in the shopping cart? Mm. Then you take that through, you know, checkout, and there it is. You know, you can pay cash and be done with it, and, you know, you don't need an app. Because maybe I left my phone at home.
Of course, things don't always go swimmingly with robots involved in work environments. Here's a story from the UK Guardian. 24 employees at an Amazon warehouse in New Jersey were taken to the hospital after a robot accidentally punched a hole in a can of bear repellent.
Oh, my goodness.
Incident happened Wednesday. At a warehouse in Robbinsville, Tennessee, on the outskirts of Trenton. Amazon says all the impacted employees, and this is a great time of year for this to happen, impacted employees have been expected release from the hospital. They were taken to the hospital as a precaution.
And if you're not aware of what bear spray, it's capsaicin, which is the stuff in chili peppers that makes your tongue burn. The jalapenos, why your eyes water when you're cutting up jalapenos, or don't make the mistake of cutting up jalapenos and then rubbing your eye. You'll be very aware of what capsaicin is, concentrated capsaicin for bear's repellent. One thing's for sure, that it obviously works on humans in this particular case. And if you get it strong enough, it makes it very hard to breathe.
Yeah, yeah.
So this can be, a real problem.
Never ones to miss out on the opportunity. The president of the Retail, Wholesale, and Department Store Union says Amazon's automated robots put humans in life-threatening danger. This is another outrageous example of the company putting profits over the health and safety of their workers, and we cannot stand for this.
Well, and there's a certain amount of things that say the robot janitors in Walmart is a similar type
of
thing.
Yeah.
Because if you have these robot janitors, what do you do with the human janitors? You no longer need the human to do the job, which I disagree with, because the robotic thingy isn't going to be able to get in the nooks and crannies like a human can, probably. But at the same time, Walmart's comment about allowing our staff to spend more time interacting with customers. No, you're going to have less staff.
That's PR.
I know. Somebody in the marketing department put that one forth. I don't think so. The thing about other technology that gets in our way, maybe, is that this article comes from, I got to find it here, I went and flipped the page.
Well,
on me, it comes from PC Magazine.
I have had people tell me, I would never trust my life to a driverless car.
You trust your life to a driver's car.
They fired all the elevator attendants quite a few years ago.
But you trust people enough to get in a car with human drivers, right?
Yeah.
So this article says young people are ready to take
both
hands off the wheel.
That
young people are more willing to trust driverless cars than older people are. Well, I think it's a matter of perspective. For me, I'm perfectly willing to trust a driverless car if it's in an environment with nothing else than other driverless cars.
What I foresee is that you have something like the high occupancy lane set aside for
driverless
vehicles. Then the other environment would be a closed loop in city or in a gated community type environment.
Right, or you have, like they have walking malls in cities, you have a zone where, you know, only driverless function, your car is on a driverless function. The thing about it is that if you have, like, high occupancy vehicle lanes, you have to have no way for a human-operated vehicle to get into that automated lane, or they will try it. It's just like HOV lanes. Have you noticed how fast people travel in that lane?
Whew.
It's blisteringly fast. And if you're doing a speed limit in that lane, so here's a case of where automated technology mixing with everyday life, another thing, may not go so well.
Those pesky people. All the time for this time around. It's Boomer Tech Radio with Bob and Brenda. We're down to just three shows left. Thank you very much for listening. Wherever you go, whatever you do, be safe and be good to each other. It might be the car or light truck that gets you to your job every day. Maybe your child drives it to school. Or perhaps your drivers deliver goods to the customers who keep your business going. The bottom line is, you rely heavily on that vehicle to be safe and reliable day after day, and that means regular maintenance by professionals trained in the latest automotive repair techniques. For Brenda and myself, that means Advanced Automotive is the only repair shop we trust with our personal vehicles. Advanced Automotive does everything they can to make car care easy. Founded in 1993 by Tim Morlock and now owned by his son Cody, carrying on a tradition of honest work at a fair price. Find out for yourself by visiting AdvancedAutoReading.com or go to RepairPal.com, or you could just call 530-244-4423. It's a great little repair shop that's a bit hard to find, but worth the effort. At 5756 F West Side Road in Reading. Advanced Automotive.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Reading.